Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming back. So in this last module, well, I shouldn't say last module, but near last module, we're going to talk a little bit about monetization and packaging everything up and getting it ready for the store. But before we do that, let's take a couple more questions. So the first one comes from Mother Penguin. Love the name, by the way. Basically, they're asking if WebGL is going to be supported in the future release of Unity, does that mean that Babylon.js will be compatible? Or is that redundant? And you basically answered your own question. Yes, that's completely redundant. They're both engines, right, for displaying graphical data on the WebGL platform. So if you had Babylon.js running inside of Unity, you'd basically have two competing engines, and it just wouldn't make any sense. So yeah, I wouldn't bother even trying that. It'd be an interesting experiment, maybe, but yeah, I wouldn't go too far with that one. And then the next one is draw calls are on the GPU. Right? I think yesterday they were saying CPU, which I questioned, but no one answered. Yes, they are on the GPU. The draw call itself is executed. The code is executed on the GPU, but it's packaged on the CPU.
Yeah, that's a trick question, right? The draw call sends instructions to the GPU.
Yeah.
And now, in some cases, depending on what you're doing, some of the instructions might end up being more or less. And that's where, so technically there's always some CPU work, but they're also generating GPU work.
Exactly. So I guess the safe answer would say it's on the GPU, right? Fair enough. There's going to be times where you're going to have, it's going to be like splitting hairs really where
the safe answer is exactly.
Awesome. Okay. So let's dive into monetization and packaging. So first up, let's talk about what the Windows Store is. So the store is basically a collection of all of our apps, games, software that's available on our devices. So in order to get your device or your game out to people's devices, you actually have to go through the store, right? It's the only way to get your executable content onto the end user's device, right? That's why we say, you know, you got to upload to the store when we're talking about the store. That's what we're generally talking about. Just to give everybody kind of like, what is the store? Let me do something real quick here if I can. I forgot my shortcuts.
Windows, just go Windows.
There we go. Well, I meant to go back, but okay. So I'm going to actually show you what the store is, just in case, you know, for some odd reason you haven't seen what the store is. So this is basically the store. You know, it's laid out. You've got your collections, your features, right? So right now, you know, the 9/11 memorial is being featured. You got a bunch of different stuff. It's kind of telling me how to go, and I can move along here. Right, and you got your top grossing, new and rising, top paid.
Get rid of the swipe.
Yeah, let me get.
Just got to swipe.
Yeah, I got to actually touch it. There we go.
Yep, that's never in the store.
No, that's just because the store hasn't been launched on this since it's been refreshed. So yeah, and then at the end, of course, you have your categories. Right, the one thing I'll point out to all of us gamers and kind of makes me happy, if you look here, like at all the top featured, you know, top grossing, top paid. A lot of them are games.
Yep.
So good career choice. So let's go back into the slides and I'll talk a little bit more about the store. So you get your key from you get your developer key. It allows you to actually upload. You create your name and everything in the store. So, you know, for my company, I would, you know, call it, you know, Mickey Games, whatever it might be. That'll give me my store name and then I can start uploading to the store that way. When you use your developer license, it'll actually unlock the devices for testing. So, you know, if you got the phone and you want to actually build on it, this is where your developer license will come in handy. You'll use a little tool, the Windows Developer Phone Unlock Tool. Is that what it's called?
Windows Phone Registration Tool.
That's
I always just search for registration, and it's called Windows Phone Developer Registration. And there's 8.1 and 8.0. Use the 8.1, and that takes care of.
Yeah, it'll take care of both of them. So whatever device you might have. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why you need that developer license, is so that you can actually unlock for development, not just push into the store as well.
Yep. And to be like, you know, so the way to be very like kind of detail on it, as a developer, first of all, to develop, we already said you don't need anything. You can develop most of your game without ever registering to the store. You will need to register on the store, which we already said is $19 for individuals, in order for you to submit it to the store. To go back to it, on Windows, there's no limit on the number of devices you can unlock. Literally on Windows, we just, you develop, you give it to
your... So that's for like your tablets, your laptops, exactly. Your home computers, whatever it might be. Yep. There's an unlimited amount of devices.
As a developer, you can install your Apex, or your package anywhere and as many devices as you want, as long as they have a developer license, which again, all you need is a Microsoft account in order for you to do that.
Yeah.
Now, on Windows Phone, that's limited to a small number of devices. That's where your three devices...
You get the three devices, yeah. So you get, you can only unlock three devices with that account before it'll say you can't unlock anymore. But you can just go in and delete any accounts that you're not using or any devices that you're not using on the account and just add new ones as you go.
Yep, and that's for individuals. If you have a store account and a business store account, you do default to a small number. I think it's three or five. And then you can go in there and submit a request on our portal that says, hey, we have 10 testers. I need this number increased to 10. Or we have one tester, but he tests on 10 devices, so we need to increase the limit.
Yeah. So basically, if you're working as a studio or a larger organization and you need that kind of support, just reach out to us. So we can definitely help and make that happen.
Yep.
So yeah, actually, that was a good point. On the next slide here, we have so to register as a publisher, like you mentioned, it's $19 a year for an individual. It's $99 a year for companies. So if you're a larger organization, if you have a registered business name, that kind of stuff, you might want to go the company route. It also goes through a verification process to make sure that you're who you say you are. You can't come on here and tell us that you're, king, and we find out later on that you're not. So you do go through a process like that. And the cool thing about the store registration for the publisher is it works on both the platforms. Previously, you used to have to have one for the phone and one for the store. Now you don't have to. They're actually merged into one account. So you have one developer account. You can push to both platforms.
Yep.
And of course, students, you're lucky you can get it for free through DreamSpark. So DreamSpark's a very, very cool program that we have for academics that allows you to have access to free software, and basically let you try out all the cool stuff that we have for free because you're students and you're probably living on Craftinter anyway and you don't have the money to buy this stuff. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to use all this stuff so when you get out in the career world, you've got some good knowledge, right? So that's what we do to kind of help out students. We have that DreamSpark program. Your MSDN benefits may, if you have an MSDN benefits already, that actually does come with a registration token. You can just go there and click on it. It'll print out the token. And then at the bottom there, you'll see the two sites to go to log in. It doesn't matter which one you sign up for because they, like I said, it works for both. So pick and choose which one you want to check out.
Yep.
All right. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some monetization options. Now, I'm sure everybody in the world's heard the differences between freemium and paid and all that, but it's a good idea to go back through it all, right? So paid apps that must be purchased to install, makes sense. Paid apps with a free trial, so that's definitely a cool way of going about it. So if you are gonna charge money for your app, you'll notice that, I'll put it this way. If you put a game in there for free and you put in a game in there for paid, you're gonna notice that you're gonna get a lot more downloads for the free one. Right, that's because people don't necessarily want to spend money all the time. But what's cool about if you have a paid app, you can actually offer a free trial. So it kind of removes that thing of people saying, well, I don't want to pay for something that I don't know if it's any good. Right. Yeah. So I always tell people, if you're going to do a paid app, it's vital that you include some sort of trial. Right.
Yep.
And we'll show a little bit later how to use the trial API, or we'll talk about it a little bit anyway.
And there's other benefits to trial, right? Like, for example, again, on Windows, we have a myriad of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So so sometimes somebody would be like, oh, I installed these I installed Surface 3. Like, they changed resolutions quite a bit recently. It has a much higher resolution than any other device we've had. And it's the aspect ratio is slightly different. So if you have a trial app and somebody installs it and for whatever reason doesn't run right, that person at least has the ability to say, oh, it didn't run right. I'm not going to buy it. Which is much better than that person being pretty upset that they paid $4.99
and
going in there
and
giving you a one because they did something that they did something they were not supposed to in some cases.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's definitely a lot of reasons to include a trial, and I would almost go as far as saying it's a necessity. If you're going to do a paid app, at least offer up a trial. Another way to do the paid version, I guess, is a paid with free app, and I call these the premium games, right? So basically what it says is you can download it for free, And then later on, there's in-app purchases. So you'll see a lot of games like that are doing this lately. I think Candy Crush, the rest of them, they're all doing that where you'll have, you know, like a, something like maybe a health bar or an energy bar, and then once it runs out, you got to buy tokens. And this is a way to have people playing your game, but still be able to monetize it, right? So you'll get a lot of downloads, you'll get a lot of people playing it. They may or may not spend money on it, but after a while, you know, you'll start to generate some revenue through your in-app purchases. So you can do a lot of different things, you know, items for RPGs. It could be, you know, a million ways to do in-app purchases. So definitely a good thing to check out. And over here, you'll see that it's got the pricing tiers. So if you're gonna do a paid app, you can start out anywhere from 99 cents all the way up to $500. I don't think I've ever seen a $500 app in there though.
I never looked.
Yeah. If you release a $500 app, please reach out to us. I'd like to know what it is.
It's one of those I'm too rich apps, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. And, you know, so that chunk there, that paid, that premium, the in-app purchases, if you want to call it, that's a good chunk. That's about 70% of the developer revenue on our platform right now. Right? So, give or take.
Yeah, you'll have the data on the next one, right?
Oh, yeah, I have the data. When we go down, I'll break down it a little bit more. Exactly. And then, of course, if you're not going to do the paid route, if you want to go, you know, maybe you just want to have free downloads, you can have ads inside. So we were fielding a few questions a little while ago about, you know, having something like video ads inside of your game, things like that. So there's ways to monetize it without having to actually charge anybody any money. I will say, you know, the ads are still doing very well on our platform, but I've seen it kind of taking a hit on other platforms in recent periods. But again, you know, the video ads are kind of giving it a little bit more of a boost now. And then, of course, release for free. That's your other option, right? Just give it out to people, let them play it. You know, maybe it's just you're trying to make a name for yourself. If you're starting out as an indie, you just kind of want to get people to know who you are. Or maybe, you know, you got a group of guys, you got some artists, they want to show off some of their artwork, that kind of thing. It's a good way to get a portfolio out there, you know, maybe get picked up by that AAA.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the trial API. We kind of mentioned why you would want to use a trial. So trials, you can do a couple of different ways. You could do something like a time-limited trial where, you know, you can play the game for a minute, 30 seconds, and then it's going to kick you out and ask you to pay for it. Or you could do a featured limited trial. So something like, you know, the first level or something of the game is available, or maybe, you know, you can't power up to a certain point, or a lot of popular games are doing this now, which even had the subscription model before, where they're like, you know, you can play for free up until level 15, so you can kind of get a feel for the game, and well, you get drawn in, right? You start playing the game, you start building, you know, a bond with the characters inside the game, and suddenly you're more willing to pay for it, right? So that's one good way of going about it. So do you want to show off the?
I'm still having some.
Still having a little bit of issues.
I can set this up.
We're hoping that we're going to be able to show you the Prime 31 plugin that kind of handles some of this trial stuff.
Yeah, I can definitely show the code, but this remote desktop. We keep anything that requires that you interact with the main desktop is not.
It's being a little bit of a pain for us.
Giving us pain today, so I can walk through. We can walk.
Yeah, you want to walk through the code then?
Yeah, so I think what you were saying, which was interesting, let me see if I can switch over here. And we'll walk through it. So what you were saying is interesting. From a trial standpoint, actually all of our APIs, all of our store APIs are pretty simple regardless. From a trial standpoint, one thing to know is that time-limited trials are literally no code at all, right? When you submit to the Windows Store, you say, oh, I want it to be a time-limited trial for 2 days. And the operating system automatically takes care of all of the handling that you need to do in order for that time-limited trial to not expire. So you don't have to do any line of code at all. Obviously, feature-limited trial, you get to decide, because that requires a little bit of business logic for you to come back and say, here's what I need to do, like, you know, maybe level 15 or whatever it is that that you need to actually get to. So that's where you're going to be with regards to feature limited.
Yeah, which is really good. The time limited, it's really handy, right? You don't have to worry about any code. Just throw it up there. You're good to go. The feature limited, you got to write a little bit of code, but to be quite honest, it's not too much. It's a few couple lines here and there just to kind of block out what you want to be able to have access to and what you don't have access to.
Yep, exactly. So I have the code here. I can just walk you through some if you want. Let me just make this font smaller. You're going to see here all the, this is the Prime 31 code. And what you're going to see here, for example, a purchase event. This is still too big. Is 18 a good size for this?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yep.
Just make the window big. It'll be easier to read.
Yep, I'll go full screen. And for example, like let's say you wanted to check is in trial mode, right? Mm-hmm. So pretty much you just get an instance of the store and just say store is in trial mode.
And that's what's nice about the plugin. It's abstracting all that heavy lifting for you and just giving you the ability to say, hey, store dot, you know, is in trial mode, and it'll return a Boolean and you can go from there.
Yep. Same for like, for example, here, if you were in a trial and you wanted to request that the app be purchased, so you're, you know, what we call the conversion, right? You just make this one call right here and say store request app purchase, and then you get a callback. You press a callback onto it such that you get call whenever it's done. And right there, one line of code, and you just add it in-app purchase onto your app.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing.
Trial to in-app purchase. If you want to do something like getting license information, most of these are one call, one method or two methods that you're looking at here. And the native API is just a simple of WinRT, so if you don't want to use a plugin, the native API is probably just...
Yeah, we have that in the slide, so I'll talk a little bit to that.
Yep. So that's kind of where you're at with regards to the APIs. It's very, very straightforward. Trial is definitely a best practice that everybody who has a paid app should try to leverage.
Yeah, definitely. So if we go back to the slide here.
Yep.
You'll see, this is what you were basically talking about. This is the native call. So if you're, I'll give the hypothetical feature, right? So you hit level 15, you're going to check to see if they have a license. So you're going to do this call. You're going to return, is active, is trial, and then you're going to write your custom code based on that, right? So, you know, the plugin does abstract it a lot and makes it a little bit easier, pretty quick to get that up and going. But to be quite honest, the native code is not very difficult to get going as well.
So, yep.
Yeah, either or. Okay, so let's move on to in-app purchases. So... Yeah, this is a touchy subject for me. Every time I talk about in-app purchases, right? Because I'm a strong believer, and you don't want to make it, pay to win, right? That's the biggest thing that I'm always telling people: don't make it pay to win, right? Don't whale hunt. That's my biggest push is don't whale hunt. You know, make it enjoyable for everyone, even if they're not going to be spending hundreds of dollars in your game. Don't make it so they lose, right? Jaime's over here laughing.
I'm a whale hunter.
Yeah, he's like, I'm hunting those whales.
Hey, I laugh all the way to the bank. I'll be honest. In my games, we optimize a lot for the whales, and it's okay. Like,
yeah,
they're having fun, right?
Yeah, it depends on what you're trying to target, right? If you have a strategy where you're able to capture, a few whales, you're going to be okay. But if you've only got, one whale every year, you're not doing too well, right? So you might want to take a look at how you're optimizing to hunt whales.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're talking about hunting whales, and when we talk about whale, we mean somebody with a large bank account. That's what we're talking about. We don't actually mean physically hunting whales, because that's cruel. So, in-app purchases, you can do this a lot of different ways. So you got things like durables, consumables, right? So durables are features that can be unlocked, and they're in the app. They're permanent, right? So what would be a good durable? Maybe a level increase. So I'm having a hard time. I can't get to level 20 with my character. I pay $2.99 and my character gets leveled up to 20. Boom, right? Done. So that's something that would be a durable. A consumable, on the other hand, is something that you're actually purchasing. You're either going to use right away or use at some point, and that's it. It's a one-time use thing, right? Or I shouldn't say one-time use. Like, you could have it set up so you could use it more than once, but eventually it will no longer exist and you'll have to pay for it again, right? So healing potions, stuff like that would be a good consumable, right?
Yep. A durable you purchase once, a consumable you purchase over and over
again, which is good for whale hunting.
Yep.
And another thing here, like I a lot of people come to me and they say, like, do I need to use Microsoft's payment provider? And I'm like, no, you don't have to. You can use any provider that you want. You just have to code that all in yourself, right, and get that all up and running. What's really cool is there's no revenue share if you use with Microsoft, if you implement some third-party payment system. So you're actually not, we're not taking a cut off the top if you go and use, Johnny's payment processor.
Yep. So that means that 30%. So on our stores, when you come to our store, it's a standard 70-30 split. So if you're using our APIs, if you use the Microsoft APIs, then Microsoft gets 30% of your cut, developers get 70. That's the same than iOS or Android.
Yeah, it's the same across the board.
And what Mickey's saying is if you use your own payment provider, then you get to keep as much as that payment provider lets you keep,
Yeah.
Which tends to be more.
So. Very cool. All right, so The next one is the ad-supported apps. Now, we had talked about this a little bit. Like we said, you know, that it's kind of on the decline just because there's so many games and apps out there that are just bombarding people with ads. The price of an ad display has gone down dramatically. That being said, it's still actually fairly popular on, and very fairly lucrative on our platform as it stands right now. Video ads, again, are another way to get that to kind of come back up and make a little bit more money off that. With the ads, we do have the Microsoft Ad SDK, which allows you to use PubCenter. Really, really easy to use. Very easy to incorporate into your game. You know, it gives you various ad sizes to choose from. You can do very specific targeting to your audiences, right? And you can control all that through the PubCenter portal, which is actually pretty easy to navigate. I've used it in my games in the past. And I've also used third parties. So on our platform, you're able to use a third-party SDK, something like, you know, AdMob or whatever it might be. And actually, one of my suggestions is, I always say this to people, is use more than one, right? Because you're not guaranteed 100% to display an ad every single time. So it's a good idea to have a couple of fallbacks, right? So I might lead with PubCenter, and if PubCenter doesn't display an ad for me, I'll do a call to, you know, AdMob. And if, you know, if I go through a couple and they're still, I'm not getting anything, maybe the guy's just got a bad internet connection or something's up like that, I'll actually go to the step and I'll start displaying my own ads. So any games that I've created, I'm gonna start advertising them in there, right? It makes sense, got some free ad space, you might as well use it up, right? So that's why I always say, use more than one, it makes sense. Yep.
And there's, if you, again, services.windowsstore.com is where I would go check the options are, what the options are. And for example, there's one called Ad Rotator, and they do exactly what you describe, but they do it for you.
Yeah.
That's, I think the only, the two options that I see people taking a lot is I would go with Ad Rotator, or you can go PubCenter or whatever. Because in some cases, if you go to one specific vendor, you might get a little bit of a higher CPM or whatever your model is. And then you can always write your own fallback yourself. And at that point, for example, Ad Duplex or some other fallback might be okay.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other options in Movi, Leadbolt. Like there's a lot of options. If you need a fallback, there's a lot of other options. And Ad Rotator is one that, the current one on the website is done by outside of Microsoft. And then Microsoft has announced that for the fall, we would probably have our own Ad Rotator equivalent.
I'll plug mine too. I've got one out there. The code's free to use. Take it, rip it apart, do whatever you want, add more ad services to it. But please push up your code afterwards. Like, you know, if you're adding other things, I'd love to include that for everyone. So yeah, definitely check it out. And GitHub/ScruffyFern.
Yep.
Cool. So let's move on and talk a little bit about shared identity apps. So a shared identity app, basically what we're saying here is, if you have a Windows app and a Windows Phone app using the exact same reserved name in the stores, they are considered to be a shared identity, which gives you a couple of really cool benefits, right? First of all, and I actually learned this, you told me this, and I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Customers get apps and in-app purchases, like durables, and entitlements across both platforms. Mm-hmm. So if I've got, you know, if I release my game and I've got some durables in there, someone purchases it from there, they can actually download the exact same game on their Windows device and have that access to those in-app purchases and not have to repurchase them. That's huge. That's really big.
Yep. And again, you pay once for an app that runs in two platforms. So
yeah.
From the very beginning, like you, let's say your game is $2.99, you pay for it on Windows, and now you can install it on phone. And then if you go buy something on Windows, you know, you get it on phone if it's a durable.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, that's really good. Yeah, it's, you know, it's the way it should be, right? If they're running the same platforms and the games are the exact same, why am I paying for it twice, right?
I'm a whale hunter, I won't say.
Yeah, the whale hunter in the group, yeah, saying, no, pay for it twice.
Please. I'm like, hey, you want it? You know, if you want to play it on the same, you want to pay for it once, play on one device.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the coolest features that, you know, having this shared identity is. Another one, really big one, is roaming data across both of them. So, you know, if I, you know, I level up my RPG character and I'm almost done the dungeon, but I got to leave for work and I got a train ride ahead of me, I can just fire that game up on my phone. My data's roaming with me, so I got my save data right there with me. I can continue on and play. I think that's just awesome. That's just amazing to me. I think that's a really cool feature. And of course, you have the single push notification channel. So any pushes that I push out, they're going to both of them. They're not just going to the phone. They're not just going to the Windows, you know, desktop device or tablet or whatever it might be. They're going out to both at the same time. So that's huge. really cool. So very a good reason why you would probably want to do this is it's going to help build up that following. Your fans are going to enjoy the fact that they can, you know, take their game across multiple devices. They don't have to pay for it twice. All their in-app purchases can be used on both devices. So very, very cool.
Yep. I think, so for context, share identities, the way I think about it is more towards the future. You know, when we started, we launched Windows Phone several years before we had a Windows Store. So for the last year or so, the stores were disconnected. It's two store. You still submit two packages, etc.
Mm-hmm.
As we go forward, we've been very clear that all of these things are converging. That's where Universal Apps is one step in that direction. Our store is converging.
Yeah, having the shared name, having the Universal Apps. We're really trying to push the wedge together, right, and get them both running on the same.
Yep, and that's where. So this is the future, I think. Starting, you know, we can joke about making a little bit more money by, you know, squeezing a person to pay twice, etc. But I think this is the right thing to do. It's something that anybody that's submitted nowadays should be just thinking about. And unless you have a very explicit reason not to, I would just say, hey, go with a shared identity app, and, you know.
And it goes back to that point that I was making earlier about you want to release on everything, right? As an indie developer, the best thing you can do is get your game out on every device you can, right? And if using Universal Apps is just making it that much easier, why not, right? I'm going to release for the phone. I'm going to release for Windows Store. So why not just do it all at once, save myself some trouble, right? It makes sense.
Yep, agree.
All right, so let's kind of shift a little bit from monetization. We'll start talking about a little bit more about packaging. So the one big thing that you need to do before you actually submit, and I say this is a necessity to anybody that I talk to. You know, people say, oh, it's no big deal, but running the WAC test, and that WAC stands for Windows Application Certification Kit, will actually go through the steps that your game or app's going to be tested on inside the store. So, you know, it'll do checks like a bunch of different stuff around the submission, like, do you have the proper icons? Do you have screenshots? Are you using APIs that aren't available? Stuff like that. It'll go through all those tests, and it'll spit out, you know, errors or issues before you actually submit to the store. So you don't have to submit to the store, wait for the turnaround, have them send it back, say no, there's something wrong with it, and you do that back and forth. Why bother when you have this awesome tool that'll just do all that for you, right? So I always tell everybody it's not a option, it's a necessity. You definitely need to run your code through the WAC test. It doesn't take too long either. It's seconds, really. You just click it and it does all the stuff behind the scenes and spits out the report for you. So I guess, yeah, here's the steps basically to walk through. So you create your app package in Visual Studio, then you run your WAC test on the created AppX. So this is for Universal Apps and Windows Apps. So you select the test that to be run, so you can go through and you can say, I want this test to be ran, I want this test to be ran. And then it'll go through, it'll run all those, and it'll spit out an output file that's actually an XML. You can then open up in your browser and go through, and you'll see here at the bottom there, there's the app manifest resource tests, you know, app resource validation, it'll have either passed or failed. And if it does have a fail, it has a pretty good description of why you failed. And you can kind of like go through that. It's kind of like a debug for why you failed the store certification kit. So yeah, definitely use that before you submit. It'll save you a lot of headaches and save you some time when you're trying to get your application or game into the store.
Yep.
Oh, I seem to be out of slides. I must have missed a few.
Yeah, I was always wondering.
Yeah, let me scroll back through. It seems like I've missed a few slides.
Can you switch machines? Because there's two that are worth highlighting that I think.
Yeah, there was two. There was one, yeah, right there. That one's the one that I really wanted to talk to.
Yeah, so this is one of the things that I think there's a couple tips that we can go back to the store. I think we already emphasized trial.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's coming to Windows Phone or Windows Store, trial is a key differentiator. It's one of those things that you're leaving money on the table if you're not taking advantage of us.
Exactly.
If your app is paid. And the other thing that I think is worth highlighting is some of the data that we looked at. This is a little bit, this data came from April or so at Build. I think it was data that they gathered as of February.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that was really interesting is that the way I think about the Windows Store and the Windows Phone Store is, you know, I have iOS or Android apps, and it's really hard to succeed on those stores to begin with. Like, I'll be very candid. I have a lot of games that I'm like, oh, I wrote it for fun, and you know, I know that I'm never gonna make more. Like,
they get buried.
When I get $20 a week, $20 a month, I'm like, oh, you know,
I'm making money.
Like, it's like, oh, that was a good, my mom must have bought it again, or something like that. So I think there's a couple things there. The Windows stores do not have as many games. So if you want to get discovered, I think there's a great opportunity for you to get discovered there.
Yeah, and I tell everybody too, it's again, I'm going back to the release on everything, but I sell it like release to the Windows Store because yes, you're not going to get buried. There's not as much there to, you know, to detract from what you've got. But on the same token, if you've got it on iOS and Android and you release to Windows Phone, I've actually heard stories of suddenly there being a boost in their Apple and Android downloads because they're getting, you know, showed off on the Windows Phone. And you know, you might be on the bus and someone pulls out a really cool game and you're checking it out and you lean over and you're like, what game is that? They tell you, you should have it in all the stores so that if that person doesn't have that actual device, they can pull it down, right? It's free advertising.
Exactly. We've done, you know, as part of our port-a-thons, for example, there's a case study from the UK where we did a port-a-thon and we had one company that came up. They had had a game on the iOS store for, I think, a month and a half when I met them. And the game wasn't doing that hot. It was a game that was, you know, lineup. They kind of submitted it a month early, lineup towards the holidays. They came to the port-a-thon, they spent 2 days, ported their game, submitted it to Windows Phone. They got picked up, or they started, you know, some people started liking it. They got picked up, and then out of the zone, like in a week, they made more money than they had made on iOS and Android in like months.
Mm-hmm.
And then they continued to rise, and then literally after a month, they were like, oh, there's enough money here that we can now literally is either, you know, take them off from other stuff and start building on these and actually doing a lot more. So there's case studies like that show that it's a really great place to rediscover.
Oh, definitely.
And to go back, that's where this slide to me comes in, is that our model, I think, you know, when I think about the other stores, like, for example, for me on iOS or Android, I don't think about, you know, a download to own now. A DTO is just, it's a no, like, there's no way I could create the kind of games that I'm competing with something like, you know, competing with any high-end game that's already selling for 99 cents is really hard.
Yeah, like you might get the odd one, like the Angry Birds or like the Outliers, right? That might be able to take off, but it's so few and far between that it doesn't make any sense to target that.
Yep, exactly. And that's where, if you come to a store, look at, go back and think about, hey, what's the right model for me? Because in a lot of cases, I think our store has a lot more success with paid than other stores.
Yes, definitely.
You know, we were joking about it earlier when we were looking at some of the titles that I'm working on, and I was literally saying, you know, I think probably some of the titles that we worked on average $4.99 on price on the Windows Store. We have titles on the Windows Store that are $7.99, which if you're looking at, for example, in the iOS store, you're gonna pay $7.99 for something like Keynote or PowerPoint or some higher end productivity apps, not necessarily for a game. Obviously, you know, you might spend a lot more in a purchase if it's a free download and you go that route. But definitely kind of think about, hey, what's the right model for me? How many users do I want? What kind of, what experience do I want them to have?
Exactly.
And that's where, again, I think trial and DTO align really well because I would never ever pay $2.99 or above for most games unless I know the game really well.
And that's what I'm gonna say. Like if you know the company behind the game or you know the IP, then you're more willing to drop like $5. But if you're a startup company, you've got nothing else out there, you've got no other success, and you walk into the store at $7, people are not gonna just drop that money. But if you offer a trial, they're more likely to download it, and if it is a good game, people are gonna buy it.
Exactly. So look at the data. There was a great session at Build by Bernardo Zamora. I think this slide came out of there. So make sure you are analyzing and thinking about, hey, what are my options? The way I think about it, iOS is pretty much in a purchase nowadays. It's kind of a freemium or free to play. And I think there's, you know, on Windows, there's still a lot more money to be made on DTO. Or even money to be made in advertisements. So,
well, yeah, if you look at the slide there again, you see the chunks there, right? The advertisement, that's still a pretty big chunk on the Windows side and still fairly big on the Windows Phone side, right? I'm sure if you looked at the other platforms, that those numbers are not going to be nearly like that.
Yep. So that's why we wanted to think about that as you go. So And then the other detail that's really interesting, or I think it's, I would say, fairly unique, I don't know how unique it is. I haven't compared it to other platforms, but I definitely see a lot of developers that make this mistake, which is when you come to the store, make sure you submit your title in as many languages and as many regions as possible. Windows Phone, from a pure market standpoint, we have a huge, huge amount of downloads, for example, in China, mm-hmm. right? So if you have a game and you want to make sure that you're, hitting as broad an audience as you can and actually being compelling and differentiating with all the audience, translating to something like Spanish is probably low-hanging fruit that you can do. Mm-hmm. Once you're Mandarin and all that, where you have culture shifts and you need to change your gameplay or something, it's a little bit harder. But just translating it to different languages is probably low-hanging fruit. And you can see very, very productive results if you go to other languages.
Yeah, I can speak from experience from that. I with my studio, we released a game a little while ago, and it was just in standard English. We released it. We were thinking it was more of a North American thing. Ended up taking off in Russia. So we were shocked. So we took a look at it and we said to ourselves, well, we've got a lot of growth potential here in Russia. How can we maximize that? And the first thing that came up was localize it, right? And we didn't have a lot of dialogue to begin with. It was a sports game, so it wasn't very complicated that way. But just having the menus in Russian and stuff like that, we saw like a 3x growth. It was unbelievable how many people just, because then it was localized, it was natural for them, they could understand it. Like, even if it was like a simple instruction screen, if they didn't speak English, they were going to have a hard time navigating it, right? And it was amazing how many people downloaded it just because we localized it.
Yep. Yeah, so that's the other two. Like, from a tip standpoint, those are two of the tips that we thought, oh, this is very unique, and we see people make that mistake over and over.
So. Yeah. Well, I'll throw one more in there, too. You got to have analytics. Right? We're talking about all this cool stuff and, making sure you're converting people, finding your whales, right? If you don't have analytics in there, how are you going to know what you're doing, right? And then where are you going to know that the people are actually downloading it from? The only reason we knew that we were very popular in Russia is because the store was giving us analytics, right? So that was one other step that we took, is we bumped it out one more. We included third-party analytics inside of our game, and now we're able to tell, like, how long is someone holding on a certain screen, right? For the sports game, how many shots are they getting off in a certain period of time? Things like that. You'd be surprised how valuable that data is to you as you move forward and try to make the game appeal to more and more people, right? So, yeah, that's one I would definitely add, is make sure you got analytics in there. It seems like it's so much extra work, but at the end of the day, it's huge, and it's going to really help you target the market. We're all building games because we enjoy playing games, but at the end of the day, we need to make money so we can continue to build games, right? So having analytics, knowing your audience, targeting them properly, localizing, making sure that your in-app purchases and your payments are geared towards the people that you know are going to do it, right? That's where analytics comes in really big.
Yep.
So does that pretty much wrap up that section?
Yeah, I think that there was a good session yesterday on MBA, and we wanted to give you, we pretty much wanted to summarize what the options were for purchasing, mm-hmm. Give a couple tips. The session yesterday was a lot longer, so
yes.
I would definitely recommend people watch that if you want more information. The summary that I would highlight from that is the store APIs are very, very simple. There's all monetization options that you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we wanted to show you. That's why it's a brief session that we can just say, hey, look, you have all these options to how you monetize, and then you have very simple APIs and free plugins that you can use if you need to.
Awesome. Okay, well, great. Let's actually wrap that up then, and we'll move on to our next module, which is basically we're just going to be talking about some programs that we have. And then we'll do like a 10-15 minute Q&A and just
yep.
answer some questions.
Good.